This is The Exchange on NHPR. I'm Laura Kanoy. It's our Race for the First series. Each Monday, we introduce you to a candidate running for New Hampshire's first congressional district. It's an open seat in a swing district, so there are many contenders vying for their party's nomination. At last count, 3 Republicans and 9 Democrats. Our candidate today is one of those Democrats, Mark McKenzie. He's a state representative from Manchester, a former firefighter, and former head of the New Hampshire AFL-CIO. And Representative McKenzie, welcome back. Good to see you.
Yeah, thank you. Good to see you as well.
And Exchange listeners, let's get you involved, especially if you live in the 1st District. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org, exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook or Twitter is NHPR Exchange, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. You can also watch our interview today on Facebook Live. So, Representative McKenzie, we're on the 6th floor here in our building.
That's
so,
right.
You know, a little
nice
bit of an
place.
Elevator ride. Give us the 30-second elevator speech of why 1st District voters listening right now should pick you.
Mark McKenzie is a seasoned leader with a record of accomplishments. I'm a strong voice for working families, and have done that all my life. And I can win this thing because the people of New Hampshire want somebody that's a fighter and somebody that's going to stand up and fight for them.
Well, and I definitely want to ask about your long time working as a union activist. But first, Representative McKenzie, it's just defies imagination that there's been yet another school shooting in Texas shortly after Parkland, Florida. The nation has been debating how to stop this rise in mass shootings, and not just schools, but, you know, churches, movies, shopping malls, all sorts of places where we all just go out and gather. What type of approach would a Congressman McKenzie support for this?
Well, we know there's too many weapons in the society today. And I think that what's always got in the way of any kind of reform in this country is the whole question of money and the ability of us to overcome the money to get to the place where we can actually make good reforms. The idea that people are using weapons, getting weapons, and using them in a violent way is unacceptable. In spite of the Second Amendment and all of the people who are defending that, I understand it, but we have a right, people have a right in this country to have a discussion about our safety, about the safety of our children, about the safety of our country. And weapons should not be in circulation. They aren't licensed. People shouldn't be using them. They have not passed a background check, and I believe in that. So
get specific if you could, please. So sort of 1, 2, 3. If you were in Congress, what would you push for?
I would push for certainly for background checks.
Universal, everywhere. Even if it's person-to-person sales, internet sales,
absolutely.
Everything.
Get away from the idea that you're using, you're in gun shows and you're able to do that, you're doing it over the internet. We'd get rid of all that. We'd pass laws that would take weapons that were never intended to be they were military weapons. They're never intended to be in circulation. And we really got to come up with the idea of banning those weapons in our society. And finally, the whole question about how we're going to remediate this in the long run. You know, I think we're going to have to come together as a group of people and say very clearly that that we want to have a serious discussion on this. We want to make sure that that people are going to be safe going forward. And I think that those are the education piece, the making sure the weapons are locked down so people don't have access to them that don't belong to it. But in general, there's too many weapons in our society.
And we could talk for the next 15 minutes about this. And I know your campaign is about a lot more. But when you talk about banning certain types of weapons, even if you banned those tomorrow, there's a lot of them out there. So, like, what do you do if somebody owns one of these? Do you go to their house and take it away? I mean, that's not very politically feasible.
Well, I'm not going to take somebody's gun away. That's not what the Second Amendment says. But I think we can start the process of controlling those kinds of weapons and how they're used and where they show up in our society. And we have to have a conversation about whether or not the weapons that are currently in place should be there. And let's have a discussion about that. We don't discuss, because every time we go to discuss this, the NRA or somebody else jumps into it, throws a bag of money at the problem, raises all this money, and it really comes down to that. People want to be safe, and that's what people want. If these guns are contributing to an unsafe society, then we have to take that into consideration. I'm for any reasonable gun controls in this country. Reasonable. That's what I would do. That's the approach that I would take. with these kinds of things.
Well, again, we could talk a lot more about this, Representative McKenzie, but I did want to talk about a couple other big issues for your campaign in particular. You spent a lifetime as a union activist. You were a fireman, a leader of the AFL-CIO in New Hampshire for many years. You've been a state lawmaker for one term. What's different about being a state lawmaker versus being a labor leader?
Well, in some ways, it's a continuation of the work that I've done. I have always been fighting for workers and working families. And being in the state legislature gave me the opportunity to continue that work, which is what I would do in the Congress of the United States. I think that you have to, in a very big legislative building like that, and I was a rookie, but what we were able to do is to contribute to the discussion around family leave, to make sure that we had a good discussion about that, to talk about guns, to talk about issues that affect people, working families in the state. And that's to be on the inside of that, have that discussion, it's been a very interesting process for me. Very different than being an advocate.
Did you work with Republicans in the state House? Any bipartisan legislation you want to tell us about?
Well, there wasn't a whole lot of bipartisan going on up there this particular year. But, you know, I worked on a labor committee. The labor committee was predominantly Republicans. We got some things done up there. And I think that's what I'll do. You know, my whole history has been with working Democrats and Republicans. You don't beat the right to work 17 times if you don't work with Democrats and Republicans. And that's my history.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more. You have said, a couple times already that you are sort of for the working guy or gal. As you know, President Trump won the Oval Office in part because of his success among white working class voters. What did the president get about this group of voters that Democrats didn't?
Well, I think the Democrats have forgot the fact of who they are. And I often say to Democrats, you know, do your elevator speech like you asked me when I came here. Who are you? Who are the Democrats? What do you stand for? And the Democrats have got to define that. Because if the Democrats aren't the party of the working families, then the Democrats are going to continue to lose elections going forward. And the other thing, you can't allow money to infiltrate the Democratic Party. It's getting increasingly more expensive to run for office now, which is a big problem. And you can't allow the Democratic Party to be corrupted by money, and you have to stand your ground in terms of that. You know, my dad, when I was 5 years old, I was driving signs in the ground with him. And I said, we're working for Dick Van Dole. He's running for city council. I said, what do we do? He's a Democrat, my father said. And he said, the Democrats are the party of the working families. And I always remembered that. And it's in my head, and that's who we should be.
So what does that mean exactly, Representative McKenzie, the working families? I mean, are bankers in this group? Are lawyers in this group? I mean, who's in this group of quote-unquote working families who isn't?
You know, I think we have common ground in a lot of issues, whether you're Democrat or Republican. I think everybody wants to make sure that they can participate in the society, that they can find good work, that they can find good jobs, that they have pensions, that they have health care, which is something has dogged us for years. All of these things I have fought for and worked on throughout the time. Issues like college, you know, the kind of money people are paying for college right now.
Yeah, I'm in that situation myself, I understand. Yeah.
Right, so it's
all about... It's a lot of money.
Yeah, there's some basic issues. I call it common ground, these basic issues that people need to... You know, we're on the same page in a lot of this.
Well, and talking about money invading the Democratic Party, as you put it, and that's part of the reason you've said that the Democratic Party isn't seen as the party of working people. As you know, Representative McKenzie, unions contribute to politics a fair bit of money, too. So square that up for us. What's the difference there?
The difference is the way that labor gets money. Workers give a nickel or a dime per hour in their work, their thing. So any kind of political action money is really the nickels and dimes of working families, as opposed to the corporation. The corporation is dropping thousands of dollars into a campaign. They have a very different set of values than the working families that I've represented. They're peeling off $5,000, in campaigns, maxing out on different campaigns, investing a tremendous amount of money, independent expenditures. It's out of control.
So this is a broader base, you're saying, of contributions.
It's a very different group of people. I mean, any money anybody contributes to me, the nickels and dimes, are to make their lives better. I'm not sure that that's necessarily the focus of corporate America right now, to make people's lives better, to make their lives better.
I want to ask you about a couple more quick issues that I know have been important to you, Representative McKenzie, over your career. You've been a big critic of the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. You got a friend in the White House on that issue anyway. The president also does not like this treaty. But a lot of analysts say that, you know, it's oversimplifying it to say that this has been bad for American workers, that really automation is the biggest reason why manufacturing jobs have gone away. What do you think? Are you barking up the wrong tree here with NAFTA? Is it really the boogeyman that you say it is?
Well, had NAFTA enforced some of the laws that were in the trade agreements, they never did. That's the trouble with trade agreements, that you put all of this stuff in, you go to foreign countries, and nobody endorses it, nobody supports it, nobody worries about what people are making. And I think consumers have responded to that. But automation certainly has invaded the workspace, but it made people more productive in the long run, but it hasn't contributed in any way to raising wages in this country. And it hasn't done anything to lower the number of hours that people work on a daily basis. So, you know, there should be some reward for increased, if automation is going forward, there should be some reward for, that workers get when, for automation, of a higher productivity. It just doesn't happen in this country.
Many union workers here in New Hampshire, including the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, were behind the Northern Pass project, which, as you know, was rejected by the state's site evaluation committee. Where did you come down on Northern Pass, given your stated concern about the environment, and environmental groups were really against this thing, but given your longtime activism with unions?
Well, the Northern Pass went through the regulatory process, and I had nothing to do with that. I mean, that was decided by in the regulatory process. You know, the Northern Pass would have provided hundreds and hundreds of jobs to people, union workers and other people. But the real question, whether it be the Northern Pass or anything else in this country, is where are we going in terms of the future of energy in this country? And I think that we've got to come up with a solution to that. We've got to get both the environmentalists and the unions and other concerned people in a room and figure out how we're going to get away from fossil fuels, how we're going to move forward, how we're going to engage new energy sources in this country. And we don't do that. Everybody fights each other.
And you have said, I heard you say on WMUR recently, that the country needs to get off of fossil fuels. They're ruining our world. To quote you there, would Northern Pass have been a good way to towards that goal of getting off fossil fuels?
Again, I think that's a regulatory environment. Those are the people who make those kinds of decisions. And, you know, they made a decision that Northern Pass was not a good fit for the state of New Hampshire. And they know a whole lot more about that than I do. And so for me, it's about energy sources, about new energy sources, about renewable energies, and weaning ourselves off of fossil fuels. That's where I'm going in this. And that's how I will approach a number of these things.
So it sounds like you're a little uncomfortable saying yes or no on Northern Pass.
What I'm saying to you is the same thing I've said to everybody that's ever asked me about it. Northern Pass would have provided a lot of jobs and opportunity for the people I represented. But the environmentalists opposed it, and the regulatory people opposed it, and they've made the decision about this.
So getting off fossil fuels, again, as you have said, one of the ideas often cited, I'm sure you've heard of this, Representative McKenzie, is to impose a carbon tax on all forms of carbon. This is often, by economists anyway, they say this is a quick and direct way to wean ourselves off fossil fuels, make them expensive, it spurs innovation. That's the idea anyway. But this approach could hurt the working people you say you've been fighting for. So I wonder what you think about a carbon tax.
Well, I support carbon tax. I think it's a way to take away the incentives for the oil companies. But let me say this again. Everybody I've ever represented wants to work, and they'll work. They want to work. They'd love to work in the new economy, the thermal and all of these wind and solar and all of these kinds of things. The problem we have now is there is no opportunity for that going forward. We can't seem to get on the same page between the environmentalists and labor and other people concerned and come up with an energy policy that keeps people working and helps them to work. And that's what we've got to do in this country.
So do you see yourself, Representative McKenzie, as kind of providing that intersection between environmentalists and union activists who have, as you point out, sometimes been at odds over these projects and policy ideas?
Well, I think I'm one of the few people, if the only person in this race, that has the kind of experience with mediation and fact-finding and working with people and building coalitions. And so I think I come with a lot of skills to this thing. And that's what's important to me, and that's what I bring to this race.
Well, and speaking of working and most people wanting to work and make a decent wage, you and most Democrats support raising the minimum wage. By how much, Representative McKenzie?
Well, I have two things. I think it should be $15 an hour. And the other thing I think we should do is eliminate the subminimum wage, which is paid to people in various occupations in this country. People who are disabled get subminimum wage. Restaurant workers get subminimum wage. I think we should eliminate that. I think everybody should be on par. They should be getting a minimum wage. It should be $15 an hour. It's a single thing, biggest thing we can do to change our economy and to change the direction for many, many people's lives.
Could a $15 minimum wage end up being a wash for a lot of people in that companies will just increase their prices? So, sure, you're making more money, but everything's more expensive. So there's an inflationary
You have the opportunity for people. People are making minimum wage of spending money. So employers need to understand that it is in the best interest of everybody to be able to put more money in the economy, grow the economy, and allow people to participate. And I think that I think employers miss that a lot of times. I think there's an opportunity to actually do that. And that's why I've always supported the increase in minimum wage.
Well, Representative McKenzie, I want to close out with a political question. Some younger Democrats are saying, you know, Nancy Pelosi in the House, Chuck Schumer in the Senate, you know, thank you very much. Time for a new generation. Time for a refresh, a reboot of party leadership in Washington. What do you think?
You know, excuse me, I'm trying to get elected. And that's really what's on my screen right now. So who the Speaker of the House was, that may never be anything I ever decide.
But so first things first, you're
first
saying?
First things first. Let's get elected.
Well, okay, so last question on that. You're one of nine Democrats. Wow, nine Democrats running for the party's nomination in the 1st Congressional District. You sort of gave the pitch, here's why I'm running. But why should 1st District voters pick you over a Terrence O'Rourke, a Lincoln Soldati, a Mindy Mesmer, a Chris Pappas who will join us next week? Why you over the other eight?
Because I have a record of accomplishments. I've been on the ground doing this work. I've been a change agent for a lot of years. I'm very accomplished at it. I know how to do it. I know how to get it done. Nobody in this race has anywhere near the experience I have in terms of politics and getting things done and building coalitions and working grievances and all of that stuff that you need to do to be successful. I'm the best one in this race to do it.
All right. Representative McKenzie, time goes fast. Thank you very much for being
Thank
here.
I
really appreciate it. That's Mark McKenzie, again, a longtime labor activist, a Democratic state representative running for the 1st Congressional District here in New Hampshire. Our Race for the First series continues next Monday at this time. Our candidate will be Democratic Executive Counselor Chris Pappas. Go to our website for more information about this series, who's been on, who's coming up, and to watch and listen to past interviews. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.